Okay, Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher on a Sunday night into Monday. If you missed it the first time, well, I got good news for you. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free three-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th. Plus, a day bet at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and every betting guide from college football playoff through next year's NFL. It's a tremendous deal, Somich. You were telling me, I think it's almost a $750 value?
$750 is what those three nights cost if you go to circa.com and you book them online. So why would you do that when you just sign up for a year of VSiN Pro and you spend less money, get the Circa nights plus the bonus day bed? Can't go
wrong. It's your last shot at a Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now, vsin.com/circa, and use the promo code CIRCA. That's vsin.com/circa, promo code CIRCA, C-I-R-C-A. All right, that's a tremendous offer. All Sharp Money peeps should go take a look at that. Somich, week 14. We'll finish off with Sunday Night Football, of course, so we'll get to the board. Remember, as we head into week 15, buys are over. Officially, all 32 going to be underway as we get to money-making part of the season.
Yes, sir. We get every team, every game, which means we get to bet more games. We get to run a more broad board. You got to love that. A lot of playoff spots still on the line. Very crowded NFC at the top. Very crowded AFC at the bottom. Going to be interesting to see who's able to get to 11 wins in the NFC. You want to make the playoffs. 11's the number right now in that NFC.
That's right. It's completely loaded as we take a look. 121, Washington, Minnesota. Minnesota behind a resurgent JJ. 31-0 beatdown of Washington. Obviously, ended up covering the 1 point there.
Yeah, 9 showed up, Patrick. 9 was in the building. Look, McCarthy played well. All jokes aside here, he played well in this game. Now, the defense, they showed up and showed out in this spot as well, obviously shutting out the Commanders here. We saw Jaden Daniels get injured. It was an elbow injury. Mariota came in. He threw a pick. This game was still in question up until the early third quarter, and then it just all kind of fell apart here for the Commanders. The Vikings easily win and cover. Addison goes 4 for 62. He leads the way from a receiving standpoint, but McCarthy was efficient. Didn't take any terrible sacks. Just one turnover. It was a good game from 9.
Yeah, that was the big takeaway. McCarthy was a good, serviceable starter. And as you mentioned, Mariota comes in because of the injury, obviously, to Daniels. My assumption would be they put him on ice for the rest of the year. We shall see.
He could have probably come back. But at some point, I think cooler heads prevailed and they said, guys, we've got a quarterback who's getting banged up every time he goes out there. And we're 3-10. What are we doing here? What is the reasoning to throw him back out there?
Washington, we don't know the quarterback, is headed to the Giants. As a matter of fact, it looks like the look ahead was 2 on Washington has flipped to 2 for the Giants. It says a backup there.
Yeah, it's right now, like the look ahead here was 2.5 on the with the Commanders. Now we're sitting 2 Giants. I agree with the move. This is a Giants team that just has more juice right now. You watch that Commanders team. McLaurin wasn't doing much on the outside. This wasn't a Debo game where you got excited about he was able to do offensively either. And this is a bad Commanders defense. I don't want to run to the window for the Giants. I think they should be a slight favorite here, but man, these are two tough defenses. I want to see the weather. The total was 47.5 on the look ahead. Little interested toward the over here if we get clear weather.
Minnesota's going to head to Dallas. Dallas, obviously, the loss to Detroit on Thursday to kick off week 14. So, I mean, they probably have about a 10% chance to get into the postseason. So still playing for something. And the look ahead on Dallas was 7.5 down to 6.5 hosting Minnesota.
And the move makes sense here, right? I mean, this is one of those spots where Dallas, the Pickens mess, CeeDee Lamb with the concussion. We don't know what we're going to get from both of them when they show back up. The defense here from Minnesota looked great. To me, this really comes down to one thing. Can this Minnesota defense shut down the Dallas offense? Because if that side of the ball is able to do enough, then the Minnesota is going to cover. If not, Minnesota is going to have a hard time consistently scoring against this Dallas defense, despite the lackluster performance we saw on Thursday night. So I've got to wait and see who is available at the wide receiver position here for Dallas.
123, your Dolphins all over the Jets, 34-10, easily cover the 2.5. One thing we do know, you know, they're not going to make the postseason. McDaniels is going to be back next year. He's going to keep his job here with Tua. A Miami blowout in Jersey.
Yeah, you were right. I was wrong. This is one of our differences here. You get this Dolphins team home. This was frustrating, Patrick, because we lost Tyrod Taylor early into this game with a groin injury, so he ends up not being able to finish the game. Brady Cook comes in. Brady Cook was the starter for Missouri last year, who was an undrafted free agent quarterback. It was a little bit of a mess from the offensive perspective after that. Now, the defense stunk out loud anyway. Achane also got hurt in this game for the Dolphins, so a lot of injuries that are going to make a difference moving forward. You got to know if Tyrod Taylor's in there. Because Justin Fields was inactive, you got to figure out if Fields is active or not. That is going to determine this Jets number moving forward in a big way. From a Dolphin perspective, Achane obviously very important. They do have a multi-headed backfield if they need to, but Achane clearly the best piece back there.
Yeah, Miami heads to Pittsburgh. We'll get to Pittsburgh here in just a bit. Feels like both teams are going to feel like they have something to play for. Obviously, Pittsburgh, but maybe Miami at this point now, too, for Monday night. And Miami at Pittsburgh, that was 3. It has jumped up to 3.5 with Pittsburgh laying it.
Yeah, a little surprise. We'll cover that when we get through the Steelers game.
Yeah, and then next up would be the Jets. So the Jets are heading to Jacksonville. I believe 8.5 on the look ahead, Mike, has already jumped up to 11.5, and I do see Jacksonville's 12.5 at DraftKings right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating here because it was 9.5 midweek, and there was Jets money on Saturday to push the look ahead down to 8.5. And then we see the games today and it's just completely on the other side. A lot of that, the Tyrod Taylor injury, right? You have to move that number against the Jaguars multiple points. If Taylor's not going to play, we don't know if it's going to be Taylor, if it's going to be Cook, if it's going to be Fields. I'm excited to talk Jags. I'm excited to talk Jags because I'm going to be nice to the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight.
Yeah, we both were on them, but we don't like them. We were on the right side of a team that we don't like. Next one up, 125. Tennessee goes to Cleveland. A high-scoring affair, just like we thought. 33 total on the closer. This was a 31-29 winner for the Titans at the Browns. The Browns don't hit on a 2-point conversion late for touchdown passes for Shadur. Not enough as Tennessee picks up the W here.
Don't hit on a 2-point conversion late is the nicest possible way to put a donk of a 2-point conversion call where Quinshon Judkins ran past the guy he was supposed to pitch to, remembered, and then turned around and tried to throw the football. It was an absolute train wreck of a 2-point conversion when they had a chance to tie the game at 31. I came after a 2-point conversion earlier in the game where everything went wrong and Tennessee almost returned that for 2 points. Honestly, if you're Cleveland, you're kind of happy you lost this game. Because the giving the Titans a win and you taking the L here gets you closer to that number one pick,
that's
right? That's kind of what we're shooting for here. I thought Shadur was okay in this game. Not great, but not bad.
It's fine.
Had a long 60-yard pass to Judy that he connected with. Had a long catch and run, a short pass to Judkins, who then broke it for 58 yards. But overall, I thought he was okay. The defense in Cleveland was a mess. Like, where was this defense all year? This has been a dominant defense at home. They looked like they were in absolute shambles. Tony Pollard running all over them. Cam Ward actually looking good in this game. I feel bad for the people, the 5 souls who took the Cleveland Browns in Survivor and went down with Shadur Sanders to the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, Stefanski, I think, may have been doing the organization a solid with that 2-point call. That we're trying to get a draft pick here, peeps. See, so let's go Wildcat.
I was on air for it. I'm like, that was such a galaxy brain call. You almost think he was intentionally trying to lose.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Cleveland heads to Chicago. Chicago will get to coming off a loss today. 7 on the look ahead for Chicago hosting the Browns, and everywhere it's pretty much 7.5 with Chicago laying it.
Yeah, fascinating game here. I cannot wait to talk Packers-Bears a little bit later, and then we'll jump into this one.
Tennessee heads to San Francisco, 12.5 look ahead. You are seeing 13.5 with the 49ers laying it with Cam Ward and the Titans up in San Fran.
Oh, doesn't that seem a little steep, Patrick?
It does, of course.
Over two tutties?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Take it.
I think that's a Titans or pass at that number. And I don't love this Titans team, but that's a huge number for a very bad defense in San Francisco. Maybe just a straight over there, too. that's another one where I think this Titans team, if the offense can do any clicking, they can force a game to go over in a hurry. That one, the look ahead was 44.5. Like anything, I like the over in that spot.
Okay, next up is Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Pittsburgh picks up the important inter-division game here, 27-22 winner. Baltimore closed 6, obviously an outright loss. The Ravens are pissed, a likely touchdown that was waved off, an interception that was waved off. They only have themselves to blame. They couldn't get anything done offensively. Yeah. Lamar was a disaster for most of the game. A win for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, don't be a donk and it doesn't matter, right? If they had just played better for multiple stretches of this game, Baltimore would have won the football game. Pittsburgh was not running away from them, and Baltimore just consistently shot themselves in the foot. Like, the coverage was not good downfield against DK Metcalf. You had multiple turnovers. Just every time they seemed like they were really getting momentum, Baltimore did something dumb and flipped the momentum right back over to Pittsburgh's side. It just kind of felt like a classic Steelers win here, as they're just able to kind of find a way to get the job done, despite, again, not being the most efficient offense. I do like the fact that they stretched the field a little bit more here. This Ravens defense was bad. I mean, you give up 150 to Metcalf, basically. Rodgers goes for 284. I think these are both bad football teams at this point. But the Ravens season is just completely fallen apart because of the fact that they just never got back to the heights that they expected when they got healthy.
Yeah, Pittsburgh right now, Mike, 165, AFC North, $1.65 favorite. Baltimore is plus 165, and the Bengals are sitting 15-1. Speaking of the Bengals, they host the Ravens for the second time in 3 weeks, doing the math here. And it is Baltimore 3 look ahead down to 2.5.
Yeah, look, it's Bengals or pass.
It's Bengals for me. Yeah,
I mean, we'll talk about the Bengals and when we get to the Bengals Bills game today, which is another banger. But I don't know how you back this Ravens team. I just don't know how you possibly think this is just going to fix itself in a week.
Miami heads to Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, as we mentioned, are 3.5 there.
I kind of want to take
your
the
Dolphins.
Yeah, I kind of want to take the Dolphins.
I like the 3.5.
I don't want to be sucked back in, but man, they feel like they're the right side in that game.
129. Pardon me. Seattle was at Atlanta. Seattle closed 6.5. They covered that easily. 37-9. A little deceptive because crucial turnovers scores Seattle. It's kind of a tight game for 2 quarters, and then Seattle just pulled away.
Yeah, this was 6-6 going into half, and Seattle cribs the opening kickoff in the second half. All of a sudden, it's 13-6, and then the turnovers just started a flowing. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba gets loose. You see a 30-yard play backed by a 28-yard touchdown. All of a sudden, he's in the end zone for the first time. The defense just starts feasting on Kirk Cousins because he's got to throw the football, and it just snowballs out of control here. Third straight week, Seattle's offense has kind of been meh. Third straight week, they've won by double digits because of how good this defense is. So they're gonna keep doing everything they can to just push with this defense and hope the offense able to figure it out by the time we get to the playoffs, because you cannot win with this version of the offense in the playoffs.
Here's a big move. Seattle's going to be hosting the Colts, which we'll discuss. Seattle was a 3.5 look ahead. They are 10.5.
Yeah, this is all quarterback related, so we'll talk about this when we get to the Colts.
Yep, that is Seattle and Atlanta. Atlanta is going to kick off week 15 on Thursday down in Tampa, which we'll discuss. Tampa's 5.5 hosting the Falcons.
Yes, they are. Yes, Tampa laying another number here, Patrick.
Should they be?
I don't know. We'll cover that when we get to the Tampa train wreck that happened today.
The aforementioned Colts, Indy at Jacksonville. Look, we love the spot for Jacksonville. They were catching here. They caught 2.5. They're an outright winner, 36-19. I thought this was probably their best overall, one of their best overall performances of the year, I thought, from Jacksonville. The big news here is the Colts have lost Daniel Jones. Achilles torn. They're not going to make the postseason after such a hot start. It's gone downhill quickly.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, they had 82% chance to make the playoffs. Now it is 39% chance. That 39% seems pretty optimistic, considering no Daniel Jones for the rest of the season as well. I agree with you. I thought this was a very good game from Jacksonville. They were going to win whether or not Daniel Jones got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to say that. They were out to a 14-7 lead. They were moving the ball effectively on offense. You could see the defense being able to stop Jonathan Taylor. This was going to be a Jaguars win no matter what happened. So I want to make sure we give them credit here because I have poo-pooed this Jaguars team. They look like a good football team today. I still don't trust Trevor Lawrence farther than I can throw him, but they did look like a good football team today. I like what they're doing with their weapons as well. All of a sudden, this receiving core, which was a mess when we lost Travis Hunter for the season, is now a little bit interesting because of what we're seeing from Jacoby Myers and Brian Thomas Jr. gets going a little bit. Curtis Strange comes back. He's playing well out of the tight end position. There's a little juice in Jacksonville.
Yeah, there is.
They could win a playoff game. I'm willing to say that now. I was not willing to say that before today.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I'm not completely all in, but they were impressive today. Jacksonville, like we mentioned, is going to host the Jets. This number has jumped up to 12.5. I see a 13 at Pinnacle with Jacksonville laying it.
Yeah, it's Jacksonville or pass because I don't know who's going to play quarterback here. I'm guessing it's Riley Leonard is going to be your quarterback for the Colts. There's a rookie here coming in. I believe it was Notre Dame via Duke last year. I kind of do like what he can do from a Colts perspective. Like, I realize against the Seahawks defense, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to get going. And I think that is the biggest issue for me here. I actually think the Colts are going to be undervalued with Riley Leonard under center, maybe in a week or two. I just don't know if this is the spot you want to jump behind this Colts team catching a big number because he looked fine today. And you give Steichen an extra week with him and you have all the talent around him. I think this is a spot he could succeed in. That's why we thought Daniel Jones could succeed here, even though we don't love Daniel Jones as a quarterback. I just think Seattle is a very, very tough first start in the NFL.
Yeah, so that number is 10 there. On to the next, and that would be New Orleans. So we talked about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay all of a sudden in danger of not making the postseason. Kind of a similar feel to what we're talking about with the Colts. If we're being a team that started off in division dominating, and now they've slowly fallen apart. New Orleans picks up an embarrassing loss for Tampa today, if we're being honest. 24-20, New Orleans the winner. Tampa Bay was laying 7.5. The bottom line is Tampa Bay couldn't do anything on fourth down. They literally couldn't. I think they were like 2-for-8. Third downs were a disaster. Giving up chunks to New Orleans. This is probably the worst performance from a team you expect something from today.
It was awful, Patrick. And it was highlighted by individual mistakes. You had Ibuka, who was open in the end zone, drops a touchdown. You have Baker, who made 2 or 3 just absolutely terrible passes. You had defenders who just olayed multiple tackles. It was just nothing could consistently get going for this Tampa team that had a lead and then just kind of squandered that lead. And you go to the box score and you're like, this was a Tampa team that was favored by close to 10 points. They didn't win any of the statistics by margin. Total yards were close. First downs were close. There was nothing that said that this team should be that big of a favorite. They allowed Tyler Shuck to just run all over them. He goes for 2 touchdowns, including a 40-yard scamper where it looked like he was running through mud. And it was muddy. It was raining all game. But it looked like he was in slow motion in quicksand there and somehow able to get to the end zone. Devastating loss for Tampa. Now they are tied with Carolina atop the division, and they play twice in the last 4 weeks as well. So this is going to be a head-to-head battle for the NFC South.
Not a terrible price right now over at DraftKings on the Panthers to win the South. Plus 220. The Buccaneers are minus 275.
That seems aggressive, considering Baker has been bad Baker for 6 weeks now. We have not seen the MVP caliber player, the guy that was in the discussion early in the season, in a long time. Yes, Tampa got back Bucky Irving last week. He looked fine this week. Godwin's still looking better. Ibuka looks like he hit the rookie wall. They need Evans back. They need McMillan back. We'll see if they're able to get them back next week, as they did start practicing last week.
Tampa gets Atlanta on Thursday to kick off week 15, and Tampa's laying 5.5.
I'm going to pass. I mean, it's Tampa or pass for me. And after watching this Tampa performance, without knowing if I'm going to get Evans and McMillan back, I've got no interest in betting the game.
Carolina, we mentioned, man, think about this. They got, they head to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 look ahead stays 2.5. A tricky spot for Carolina, because this is a kind of a must win for them, given what just happened with Tampa, and you look in division, like, this is a game, if you want to be legitimately a playoff team, you got to go to New Orleans and win this football game.
Yeah, you do. And this is also a look ahead spot. They've got the Bucs at home right after this game. So a little concern about the look ahead, but you got to think off a bye, there's some juice in that building. Under three, I'll lay it with the Panthers.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, same thing. 2.5, I'll lay it. Three, we start to look into props. Let's put it that way. let's see. Cincinnati was at Baltimore. They do cover the 6, a 39-35 win for Buffalo, but a bad loss for Cincy, you know, kind of a gutsy win. It was Josh Allen, if we're being completely honest. This was Joe Burrow exquisite until the fourth quarter where he threw 2 bad picks, really bad. And our first legit snow game of the year, like snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the classic Buffalo snow game, like where you have to come out and you had to shovel the lines in between commercial breaks so you can still see what yard line you're on. I think you put it very well there. Joe Burrow was awesome until he traded jerseys with Joe Flacco at some point in the second half and just threw these 2 awful picks, including a pick 6. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this game, Patrick. These are 2 fun teams that are seriously flawed. I think that is like they are both an enjoyable watch. You have great quarterback play. You've got the weapons on the outside to help Joe Burrow along. You've got Josh Allen and his smorgasbord of average players on offense to help him along. You've got Cook in the backfield who can break a run every now and then. And then you've got flawed defenses that don't really do anything well. And you saw the Bengals who rushed Josh Allen well in the first half, completely collapsed in the second half. They weren't in their rushing lanes. They allowed Allen to just be able to scramble all over him later in that game. It's just 2 flawed football teams. And you look at the 2 of them and there's not a big gap. And it's kind of the reason why I don't think Buffalo has a legitimate chance to contend this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like with one team that we're going to be talking about on Sharp Money moving forward will be Buffalo. Let's go ahead and eliminate Cincinnati. Dude.
Can Buffalo. We officially, finally? Are we allowed
I don't
to?
Know if we can, I don't know if we can officially do it. They've got Baltimore this week.
Still in the hunt.
Buffalo stinks. I mean, seriously, because Cincinnati's not any good. I mean, it's just really what we saw is each team has 3 remarkably talented players. Buffalo has 2. Cincinnati has 3. And those 5 guys just put on a show and the rest of them were hanging around. I mean, if you're betting Buffalo going into the postseason, good luck. Because if Josh Allen is above average, they lose. If he's Superman, they win.
What? And good luck being Superman against the Texans. Right. If you draw the Texans defense, that is going to be that's a terrible draw because your defense isn't good enough to stop the Texans, who aren't that great of an offense, but their defense is good enough to stop you. The Bills would need to draw perfectly to be able to get through this. They need to draw bad defenses with good offenses and win shootouts.
Yep. Said it well. Buffalo, let's take a look. They head to New England. Wow, big one. Buffalo at New England. New England was 1.5 look ahead. Have we flipped here? Buffalo's 1.5 right now laying in New England.
It's New England or pass. At 1.5. Like I'm gonna wait to see where this goes though. I wanna see if I can get a 3 on New England if this Buffalo momentum continues to hit. Because I think New England's the right side of the game. I agree with the look ahead that New England should be the favorite in this game and not Buffalo. And I will wait out what the best number on New England is that I can get.
Well, stop doubting this New England, not you. And I'm not talking you particularly. New England, we already saw New England went to Buffalo and did exactly what they needed to do. And now they're going to be Vrabel is going to love letting them know you are dogs. Well, he's gonna relish that.
That's the thing. They're coming in. They're dogs in the game. Like they're off a bye. It's for the division. This is your kitchen sink Super Bowl game. If you are the Patriots, and I get that people would say, well, your kitchen sink game was at Buffalo. No, now you're coming off your bye. You have something to play for. You've been talking about this for 2 weeks that you can win the division and possibly get the 1 seed in the conference with 1 win over your biggest rival at home, and you're a dog. Go get it, right?
And it helps that Denver, who we're going to talk about, they won again. So Vrabel has so many selling points.
Mm-hmm. This is just a coach's just dream matchup here, dream situation. So I do like this Patriots team quite a bit. We just need a little better number. I want to hold out and hope I can get a 3 somehow.
Okay. Next up, bettors beware. If you laid it with Denver at Vegas, I'm sorry. This ends up. What was it? 7.5 ends up being a 7-point win for Denver. And this all came down to a penalty delay a game. A defender there, Denver, got called. Dead play, 4 seconds to go. Carroll down 10, brings out the field goal unit. They kick a field goal as time expires, a meaningless field goal, and that is a covered number for the Las Vegas Raiders. Yikes.
This one cost your boy a lot of money, Patrick.
I'm sorry.
Pretty unhappy
about
it. I
genuinely mean that. I'm sorry.
That's pretty unhappy about it because I played my donkey parlay, and if everything holds, this will be my one loss on that parlay ticket. Cost me a pretty, pretty penny here. Ridiculous play. The defender doesn't really hit the ball, but sort of does, and there was 4 seconds left. They were never getting to the line of scrimmage to spike the football. The game was already over, but we have some ref ball here. They throw the flag.
Rough.
And the kick goes up and good because, hey, why not kick the field goal instead of throwing it to the end zone or doing whatever? Also, Sean Payton decides to not kick a field goal at the end of the first half. He had a 62-yarder with 3 seconds on the clock. He throws a Hail Mary, doesn't work. Also doesn't kick a field goal in the second half to go up 13 with 58 seconds left, which, P.S., would have been the correct thing to do mathematically, because if you go up 13, you have to give up 2 touchdowns to win. If you're up 10, they could kick a field goal as soon as they get in field goal range, onside kick, Hail Mary. Right there are ways to make that work inside 58 seconds, whereas 2 touchdowns are nearly impossible with that amount of time. But I digress. Look, this was a sleepy win by Denver. They just kind of did what they needed to do on offense. They knew that the Las Vegas defense or the Las Vegas offense was never going to score enough points to be able to beat them. So it was just kind of a sleepy victory from Denver, kind of a Seattle-esque victory, if you will, where they did what they had to do, get out of Dodge, don't get anybody injured.
So we may have the Denver may star in the game of the week in week 15, the Packers at the Broncos. One on the look ahead, Green Bay. Green Bay has been bet up to 2. FanDuel is Green Bay 2.5 in Denver.
I want to lay it with Green Bay, but it's kind of a tough spot for Green Bay.
It's coming out of division.
Well, and they have to go
two
back.
Two division games.
And they have to go back in division after this game as well. If I remember their schedule correct, I believe it's the Bears after this one. Yeah. The Broncos is sandwiching 2 Bears games.
It's a horrific spot for Green Bay.
And so this is one of those games where you're like, we don't really need to win this game. We have to win next week against Chicago. So I will pass, but it would be Green Bay or pass for me.
Yeah, it's a terrible. You said it well. It's a terrible spot for them. Vegas, because they're fun. They head to Philly, and Philly is 12.5. DraftKings is Philly 13.5.
I mean, I'm just not going to bet it. Because it's Vegas or pass. Like, you can't lay 13.5 with this terrible Philadelphia team right now.
I agree with that. Okay, your Packers, a 28-21 win over Chicago. Push on the 7. If you got the 6.5, that's a good win. If you back the 6.5 here with Green Bay. Really good football game. Odd call by Johnson late on 4th-and-1, down a touchdown. Really deep in Green Bay territory, I think on what maybe the 15th, Samich, and he rolls out Caleb to his left as opposed to just picking up the first down. Did not love that, but it's a huge win for Green Bay.
Yeah, big win for Green Bay. I left this game impressed with both teams. I thought Green Bay did a great job in the first half slowing down the run game from Chicago that had given people so many problems, forced it onto Caleb Williams' shoulders. I thought Green Bay did a very good job of taking advantage of the Chicago defense, specifically when they blitzed and taking chances down the field, creating big plays. I thought Caleb Williams played well in the second half, Patrick, and I've been a not Caleb Williams guy. I thought he looked a lot better in the second half here when they absolutely needed him to be good. I thought he was good. And that's a pretty positive Chicago Bears statement for me, because he's been, to me, the biggest bugaboo. It's the defense is living off turnovers, and Caleb Williams is kind of not good at football. I'm willing to go up to Caleb Williams could be good at football one day now versus he's just kind of not good at football.
Yeah, that is very benevolent of you. I thought he was kind of awesome in the second half.
Wow. I don't know about kind of awesome. He was good. He was the second half. They got the run game going,
and they were running the hell out of the ball in the second half.
They dominated time of possession. They kept that Packers offense off the field, and you could see the Packers defense getting tired. That's when they really were able to run the football, and that's when Caleb really took off. I want to see him do it without the run game complimentary if we're going to say he's a phenomenal quarterback. But like, I thought he did. He played very well in structure today. He ran the ball when he needed to. Was able to extend plays. He was constantly under pressure. The Packers did a great job getting pressure on Caleb Williams all day against what's been a very good Bears offensive line. So I came away thinking higher of the Bears and feeling the same about the Packers.
Two tough-ass teams, mm-hmm. well-coached. Like, there's nothing you cannot – I totally agree with everything you're saying. I can't come away putting down Chicago for the loss. And equally, I say great job by Green Bay. I just – there's a little juice there, too. I mean, you know, you saw the handshake, which was a little frosty with LaFleur and Johnson, just the way it should be. They're going to meet again. You mentioned the sandwich spot with Green Bay going to Denver, which is nasty. A little bit of an odd spot for Chicago as they stay home. They were in Green Bay today. They head home, and here comes Cleveland, and Chicago's laying 7.5. I'm a supporter. I like Chicago because I like Johnson. 7.5 feels a little dubious here.
It feels a little big, doesn't it? Like, it's Cleveland or pass. Like,
it's
this is
totally Cleveland or pass.
Here's the thing with the difference between this look ahead and the Green Bay look ahead. Green Bay is going to Denver, who is a 10-3 team, who is a good football team. Like, there's some juice around that game. Chicago is playing
That's
lowly
what I mean.
Cleveland.
Sleepy.
It's just not a spot where you're going to play your best football.
Sleepy.
Their B game, B minus, C plus game good enough to cover? Maybe. But you have to assume you are not getting the Bears A game in that spot when you have Green Bay on the other side.
Those Bears, the Bears just played the Lions and Green Bay. They're on the plane ride home. They're like, Cleveland just got beat by Tennessee. Oh, God, we got to play that team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really sleepy spot. The next one up, the Rams, 139, we're at Arizona. And the Rams, like, I'm guessing your power rankings are going to have them. Maybe, I don't know if you still have Seattle above them. The Rams, a very business-like trip to Arizona, 45-17. Remember, this is an Arizona team that's kind of been just, you know, they lose every game, but it's 4 or 5 points. Not today. 45-17, a huge win. Puka Nacua was marvelous. Stafford was marvelous. Great game from the Rams here.
Yeah, the Rams were awesome. The Rams did what they should have done last week to Carolina, this week to the Cardinals, right? And the run game was incredible for this Rams team. They were able to just get whatever they wanted on the ground. Blake Corum, the backup running back, goes 12 for a buck 28 and two tutties in this game. Kyren Williams, 13 for 84. They run for 250 yards as a team. You mentioned Nacua. He was awesome. This Rams offense, when they look like this, when they're running the football like this, good luck. You're not stopping them.
Sharp.
We talked about this on Thursday. I'm going to mention this. We mentioned it last Sunday. I'm going to say it again. Arizona is an over football team. With Jacoby Brissett, they are dropping back and slinging the football, and they cannot stop a nosebleed. They are the perfect combination for an over team here. And the Rams almost hit the total by themselves. We easily went over the 47.5 here.
If Green Bay at Denver is not the game of the week, Detroit here in Los Angeles at the Rams is 4.5. Look ahead, Rams, 4.5 across the board painted right now. Rams laying it, hosting the Lions. Lions are pretty much in must-win territory. Maybe they can lose one of their final 4 or 5 games, but they need it.
Yeah, they need it like blood, and it's amazing how tough this NFC is. Really important game for the Lions, for the Rams too, though. Because they've got the Seahawks on deck. They've got to go up to Seattle to decide the division in the following week. I like the Rams more. I like the spot for the Lions more because of that game, that division game 1 week out. So I'm going to pass on this one, but if it depends on where we move. If we move to like a 3 at any point, I'm probably on the Rams. If this pushes out, I may end up on a Lions. But right now, no bet for me.
Heading into Monday night's a good opportunity. Let Sharp Money listeners and viewers know, go to VSiN.com/newsletter. The reason being, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. Everything you need to know about Philadelphia at the Chargers is going to be in the newsletter. And newsletter is no obligation. It's free. So you just go to VSiN.com/newsletter, enter your email address, and bam, you good. Monday night, closing out week 14. Eagles at the Chargers, Samo. It's weird. Pinnacles, Eagles 2.5. But everybody else is pretty much Philly laying 1.5.
I am surprised this is moving toward the Chargers side. I know you're not. You like the Chargers, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still like the Eagles side of this. I think this has gone too far. This is a Chargers offensive line that's just way too banged up for me to be interested. And I understand there's so much turmoil around this Eagles team. I think going on the road is actually a positive for them to get away from that fan base in Philadelphia. You're going to have a little bit of faster track. I like the Eagles in this spot. I laid two. I would lay the 1.5 now. I think this the Eagles are the correct side.
What I do like more is 41.5 right now at DraftKings. I think the Eagles, obviously they've heard everything. They have to score. If they could lose, I mean, if they lose this game 33-32, people are going to be like, "Whoa, we got the offense back on track." Like, they have to come into Los Angeles and put up points. I think both teams are going to score here. 41.5 feels a little light. I will go over there. Anything else on the Eagles Chargers before we get on?
Nope, I didn't go crazy on props here. I know you like it when I bring up a random running back and his carries total, but I don't have anything for you here, Patrick.
And we can say goodnight here on a Sunday night edition of Sharp Money with what's wrapping up on our TVs right now. That is Houston at Kansas City. Houston's going to win. We both loved Houston catching the 3.5, and they're going to be an outright. It's 20-10 with 30 seconds to go. So yep. Kansas City is eliminated. I mean, eliminated is strong, but they're pretty much done.
They're officially on life support, right? They've got the little monitor hooking up to them to keep their heart ticking now. They need to win out, and they need help because they basically lose every tiebreaker in the world because they've lost to all of the teams that are also fighting for a wild card. So absolute mess for them. Loved this game. Nice little Houston under Mahomes rushing yards over. Nice to pop all three of those and get 3-0 at home here. This is a really good Houston team, Patrick.
Their defense is so ridiculous.
They are so fast. They didn't even have a good game from Hunter in this spot, but you got two sacks from your interior defensive line. You have multiple interceptions. Just a stacked defense. And when the offense is just above average, this is a really, really, really good football team. We'll see what we get moving forward.
It's a defense at all three levels, too. The secondary is ridiculous. When you have a secondary like that, that can come off that rush, good luck. If they get into the postseason, and they're going to move to 8-5, they get into the postseason, they're going to be a freaking dangerous team.
They are the one team I don't want to play in the AFC. If I was any other team, I would want to be avoiding this Houston Texans team because it seems like Stroud has figured something out when he was injured. He watched Davis Mills play. Davis Mills actually got this offense going a little bit. And all of a sudden, Stroud is emulating some of those things, getting the ball out quicker, utilizing a few more of his targets. Like he's finding ways to create time in the pocket, get it going. Like this has been a much better version of CJ Stroud since coming back from injury. And you mentioned it. This defense, they're the best defense in football. They have playmakers at all three levels. They have two great cornerbacks, two great safeties, two great edge rushers, one of the best linebackers in football. There is not a weak spot. There's nowhere to attack. And that just, it makes them such a tough out when that offense is able to produce anything.
I like this defense better in Denver. I like Houston.
Houston, Seattle, Denver. That order to me.
Yeah, I think I like Seattle a little bit more in Denver, too. I think that's a good point. Okay, that's it. Sharp money. Good one. Crisp, efficient. Don't forget, VSiN.com/Circa. Trust me, you're going to want to go hang for a few days at Circa. So make sure you check out that deal. Samo, we'll be back on Thursday. These week 15 numbers are going to bake. Remember, no buys. It's going to be a busy ass week.
Let's go. 16 games, lots of backup running back props to look at, Patrick.
Which I can't. I'll be holding my breath until Thursday. And we will see you then. Sharp money.